Let's go ahead and turn to 2 Peter chapter 1, if we would, please. Keys to growing in faith. We're looking at knowledge here. We'll read 2 Peter 1, 5 through 7. Let me ask, are we doing okay temperature-wise? Not too hot, not too cold? We're good. Too hot? Oh, man, all right, I'm going to leave it there. Okay, we're just going to stay. It's reading 72, all right. Okay, we're all right. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, it says, "And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." Let's go down to verse number 12, if we would. It says, "Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me." Verse 15, "Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables like we just learned about here with evolution." That's not what we followed when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Verse 20, "Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not." Let's pray. Lord, I come to you. I need you. I need your help. Lord, fill me with your Spirit. Use me. Speak through me. God, help me to say what you'd have me to say. Speak to the hearts that are here, Lord God. People come in all different circumstances. Some are going through struggles, trials, heartaches, pain, sickness. God, help us right where we're at. Please, we need you. I pray you help me with what to say, Lord. I need you. And God, if there's someone here that doesn't know you as their Savior, they've never had their sins forgiven, they're not born again, I pray today will be the day they trust you, they turn to you in repentance and faith. Please, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So keys to growing in faith, knowledge. Bible says that God's people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Hosea 4:6. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Destruction comes because we don't know. I mean, I think we saw a good example just this morning looking at evolution. How many lives have been destroyed because of a lack of knowledge, because of something false. But why is it so many of us feel we have to learn everything the hard way? Don't a lot of us feel that way? I talk to a lot of lost people, share the gospel with them. And I've had many of them tell me, "Well, I'll find out when I get there." So you sure will find out when you get there, but why do you have to learn the hard way? Why do you have to learn the hard way that God's justice is real? That He will send you to the lake of fire for eternity. He came here to tell you so you don't have to go there. You don't have to go there. He loves you. He died for you. You don't have to. But so many people want to learn the hard way. So I'll just find out when I get there. You sure will. And you'll be a believer then. It'll be too late though. See, God wants you to choose Him by faith. By faith. The Bible says salvation comes through repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that the Lord helps us to seek Him for knowledge. All of us. If you're saved, if you're lost. By lost, I mean you don't know your sins are forgiven. You've never been born again. You can't look back to a time in your life when you realized you're a sinner that deserved to go to hell for your sins. See, most people admit they're sinners, but they don't admit that they're the sinner God says they are. They will not admit that. Why? Because something in us, that pride within us, screams and says, no, that's not true. You're a good person. You've been good. You've taken care of your family. You've done all these things right. Sure, you're a liar. Sure, you've stolen. Sure, you've lusted after people. Sure, you've hated people, which Jesus says is murder. You're a murderer. But we lie to ourselves and tell us we're a good person. People don't want to accept that they're the sinner that God says they are. God takes it so far in Romans 8:7, He says that the carnal mind is enmity against Him. That means we're His enemy. We're so bad, we're God's enemy. You think, not me, no, I love God. Well, why don't you accept His Son's death and resurrection as payment for your sin then? Why won't you receive that? Why do you reject that and spit in God's face? Because that's what's happening. When you won't receive it, that's what you're doing. You say, but I love God. If you love me, keep my commandments. You have to receive that gift. God says it's there for you. Take it. But people say, no, I don't need that. I'm good. I can do it. God says, no, you can't. No, you can't. If a murderer goes to stand before a judge and says, hey, judge, I know I killed that person 5 years ago, but I haven't done it anymore since then, and I've been really good. Is the judge going to let him go? Not if he's just. He certainly won't. He's going to give him exactly what he deserves. He's getting locked up. I mean, how many of us want justice for the young girl that was killed a week and a half ago? I want justice for that. We think justice needs to take place for those three monsters that did that. We need justice. We recognize it in that, but we don't recognize it in our own lives. We want justice for other people, but we don't want justice for ourselves. If we got justice, every one of us in here would be in the lake of fire. Every one of us. We want justice for others, not ourselves. God took care of justice. He took our spot when He went to the cross. He who knew no sin became sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. See, He became sin so we don't have to face that penalty, so we don't have to stand before the judge. He went there in our place. And He took the weight of all of our sin on Himself and He paid that penalty. He met every demand of the law. He was sinless. He paid God's standard. He met God's righteousness. And He wants to give it to us. He wants to give it to you personally. He wants to give you His righteousness. But you have to accept it. You have to receive it. And it's not on your terms. It's on His terms. That's what repentance is. It's surrender. God's not trying to call you. Brother, can you come up here real quick? Okay, we're going to pretend. I know He wouldn't want this, but we're going to pretend He's God. Okay? All right? And I'm the lost sinner, okay? And He's trying to call me. He's grab my shoulder, like pull me like you're trying to pull me towards you. See, repentance isn't this. It's not, I'll come to you when I want. Keep going. Keep trying to tug on me. No, it's not that. See, I'm fighting Him, right? Repentance, just put one hand on me and just try and turn me. This is repentance. It's just, okay, Lord, what would you have me? I'm not fighting you anymore. See, what so many people want to do is they say, well, I believe in Jesus, go ahead and pull on me. While they're doing this and they're fighting Him. I believe in Jesus, but they're fighting Him. They won't surrender. They won't turn to Him. Thank you, brother. Appreciate that. That's what so many people are doing. But guess what the Bible says? The devils believe also and tremble. I'm telling you, most of the devils are one step up on the lost mankind because they at least tremble at God. And most of mankind does not tremble at God. They don't care about Him. I can think back to a time in my life when I was lost. I was 15 years old. And I can remember tearing pages out of a Bible to roll a joint. How shameful is that? How shameful is that? I didn't care about God. I didn't care nothing for him. Nothing for him. I didn't care what his word said. But he didn't give up on me. He didn't give up on me. He's still 6 years later. 6 years later. He said, I love you. He kept going after me. He didn't give up. He kept going after me. And I wasn't in rebellion to him anymore. I wasn't fighting him anymore. I turned to him. I said, God, save me, Lord. I don't want to go to hell. God, forgive me. And he saved me. He changed my life. He made me a new creature to where now, after all that time now, 14 years later, whatever it's been, I'm standing here today preaching his word because he made me a new creature, because he saved me, because he changed me, because he offered me eternal life. He'll do the same for you. He'll give you that eternal life. But you got to come to him on his terms. We need his knowledge. Proverbs 1:7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. That's what we need in our lives, the fear of God. If you study out the fear of God, you'll see that it's closely related with obedience to God. Those that fear God obey him. You say, well, the devils believe and tremble. Aren't they fearing him? Yeah, and guess what? Anytime one of them ran up to Jesus and he told them to do something, guess what they did? Yeah, you got that right. They obeyed him. That's a real quick check you can do in your life. Do I fear God? Let me ask you, do you obey God? If your answer is no, you don't fear him. You say, yes, I do. No, you don't. No, you don't. That verse goes on to say, fools despise wisdom and instruction. Fools despise it. You ever been in school? Maybe some of you are teachers or not, but even if you're in school, there, you know that kid. Always giving the teacher a hard time. Always fighting the teacher. Anything the teacher says, bucking against it. That's a fool right there. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Do you do that to God? Do you despise his word? Do you listen to it? Look, if you're in here right now and you're getting mad about what I'm saying, just tells you where you're at. I get it. I've been in preaching. I've gotten mad at what they said before because I was wrong, though. I was wrong. And I had to get myself right with God afterwards. But I was wrong. So at that point, I was a fool. I was despising wisdom and instruction. God is trying to show me something in my life, and I don't want to listen to it. I'm fighting him. With the availability that we have to the Word of God today in this country, the only excuse we have for remaining in ignorance is that we don't fear God and we despise his Word. That's it. There's no excuse. Look, I'll tell you right now, if you want a Bible, if you don't have a Bible and you want a Bible, see me after the service, I'll give you a Bible. No excuse. I will give you a Bible today. You can walk out of here with the Bible. If you want a Bible, you don't have one, tell me. If you know somebody that wants a Bible, doesn't have one, tell me. I'll give you one to give to them. There's no excuse for it today. If you really want to grow in your faith, you must study and learn his word. Beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue, knowledge. Knowledge. We need to learn God's word so that we are proficient with using it. If I'm going to get in a sword fight, I want to know how to use a sword. That's just me. I mean, I don't know. Maybe that's not you. But if I'm going to get in a sword fight with somebody, I want to know how to use it. I want to be good at it. I want to be practiced, trained. Well, look, if we're going to share our faith, if we're going to talk to people, if we're going to be the light and the witness that God wants us to be, and by the way, that's not just a job for preachers, that's for everybody that's born again, that's saved, that trusted Christ as their Savior. If we're going to do that, then we need to know how to use this sword, the Word of God. We need to have knowledge of the Word of God. So why is it that so many of us don't know how to use the Word of God effectively? Could it be that we despise wisdom and instruction? I mean, how much time do we spend in the Word of God outside of Sunday morning? How much did you read the Bible this week? Let's go beyond that. How much did you study the Bible this week? And that's digging in and getting something from it. And I understand sometimes some weeks are busier than others, but it should be a regular part of your life that you're in the Word of God, getting something from it. I mean, that just should be just commonplace for a Christian, is that we're in it, or do we despise wisdom and instruction? Let's fix maybe these deficiencies that we have. Let's add to our faith knowledge. So what is it that forms the basis of our knowledge? Well, it's got to be based on truth. 2 Peter 1:12, "Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth." See, our knowledge has to be based on truth. If we go to verse 17 there of chapter 1, it says, "For he received from God the Father honor and glory, when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, 'This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased.'" What it's talking about right here, it's talking about the Mount of Transfiguration. This is Peter. He was there. Peter, James, and John were there with the Lord Jesus Christ. The other apostles stayed down. These three got to go up with Jesus onto the Mount of Transfiguration. And as they're up there, the Lord's transfigured, and this voice from heaven comes and says, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And there's Moses and Elijah standing there with Jesus. And Peter heard that voice from heaven. He heard God's say that. He heard God's voice. Could you imagine that? How amazing that would be. I mean, what would you do if you were just standing there and God's voice came down and said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased," and you're standing there with the Son? I mean, just think about that, getting to witness all of that. Peter heard that voice. Verse 18, "And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount." Look at verse 19 here. "We have also a more sure word of prophecy." What's he saying? This book you hold in your hand is better than that voice from heaven. A more sure word of prophecy. It's more sure than hearing the voice of God from heaven. This right here. So if we're to grow in knowledge, it must be based on truth. It is the word of God. John 17:17 says, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." It's his word. That's what the basis of our knowledge. If we're going to grow in knowledge, it needs to be on the word of God. Truth is something that keeps us going in the right direction. We can set our compass based on the truth of God's Word. It's like a guardrail. If you've ever been driving through the mountains, maybe you can praise God for some of those guardrails that are there if you're driving along the edge of a cliff or something. Why? Because that thing's going to guide you. If you start to get off a little bit, you're going to hit that thing, and it's going to let you know, hey, there's danger off of the edge here. And that's what happens if we're not building our lives on the Word of God. We're in danger. And that truth guides us so that we don't fall into danger. Psalm 43:3 says, "Oh, send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto thy holy hill, into thy tabernacles." Let them lead me. His truth. The words of God we hold in our hands, more reliable than if we heard God himself speak from heaven. Look at the immense value that God has placed on his word. In Psalm 138:2, he says, "I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth." Get this, "For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name." God says he's magnified his word. He's lifted his word. He's made it bigger than all his name. Because it's called blasphemy to take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. And God says, "My word is lifted above that and magnified, made bigger than that." That's how important it is. Because of the value of his word, we should take heed to it. They're the words of eternal life. Verse 19 says, We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. Because of what it is, we should take heed to it. We should listen to it. Regarding taking heed, the International Standard Bible Encyclopedia says this: "As opposed to thoughtlessness, disregard of God's word, God's words, of the counsels of wisdom, of care for one's ways, it is constantly inculcated as a duty of supreme importance in the moral and spiritual life. What is it? The Word of God. It's of supreme importance to the moral and spiritual life. That's what it means to take heed. It's the most important thing. We need to follow it. We need to let it guide us. John 6:68, Jesus preached a hard message right there in John 6, and a lot of people, after they heard this, they left. They said, we're not following you anymore. And Jesus said, hey, will ye also go away? In verse 68, he says, Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Where are we going to go? Hey, where are you going to go if you don't turn to God? Where are you going to go? He has the words of eternal life. So where are you going to go? Are you going to look to yourself? So psychology is going to teach you, look within. Teach you, find the God within yourself. Same lie that the devil told to Eve. Where are you going to go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Islam? Jehovah's Witnesses? Catholicism? Where are you going to go? We better go to the source of truth. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. This is where we need to go. Right here to the Word of God. That's what has the answers. The Bible's the light that we need in this dark world. Don't allow people to make you feel shame for believing the Word of God. Don't ever allow people to make you feel shame for believing God's Word. It'll happen. But this is the light we need in darkness. Whereunto you do well that you take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Look, have you ever had anybody point out that you're wrong? Were you like, oh, great, yeah, thanks, I'm glad you told me I was wrong, and get all excited about it? You're like, woohoo, yes. No, you're like, oh, fine, all right. You're mad at them, right? I mean, what are you telling me I'm wrong for? Who do you think you are? Right? You get mad at them. So look, if we're going to let the light shine on people, then expect them to get mad. I mean, they might just get mad sometimes. And it's not like we're trying to do it. We don't need to be an arrogant jerk about it. But hey, truth is truth. If I shine the light, I shine the light. If you shine a light in somebody's eyes, this flashlight, hey, they're going to be like, ah, it's going to, you know, bug them. So expect them to respond, sometimes even in anger, as we shine that light. And let's make sure we do it with the right attitude, though. Don't apologize for your position, but hey, if you've got the wrong disposition, you need to apologize for that. We need to watch that. But don't apologize for the truth. Don't ever apologize for the truth. Look, when I was working with the city, I determined a long time ago, I'm not going to apologize for the truth. If they try and force me to apologize for standing for the Bible, if I offend somebody with it, I'm not doing it. I don't care. I'll lose my job. I mean, they had me try and lie one time. They wanted me to lie because we were out at the airport. I worked out there and I was airfield maintenance and we were killing the prairie dogs. And somebody told the news, so the news was out there and they were filming us and stuff. And I remember they had a meeting, they brought all the crews in together. They said, look, if anybody from the media asks you if we're doing this, tell them no. And they told every employee there, standing there, and I just looked at him, I said, if you're asking me to lie, I'm not going to lie. And he's like, whoa, we're not asking you to lie. I said, just don't tell him. I was like, well, I'm not lying, so whatever you want, I'm not going to lie. Look, we got to determine sometimes, whatever it is, we're just going to stand for it. Just stand. Amen. That's why that virtue is so important. We've got that virtue, that spiritual courage to stand on the knowledge that we're building. Stand for right. So many Christians are folding today. They're just giving in. We're capitulating. Oh, it's a fetus. Oh, the rainbow represents, you know, gay pride. I mean, so I feel like telling them, I've never had the opportunity to, but if I see somebody and they're like, oh, you like my rainbow sticker? I'm like, oh, you believe God judges sin too? Just tell them something like that. And I'm not like, I walk out in public and I'm like, oh, yelling at people like that. No, I don't do that in public, okay? So don't think that's how I am. All right, there's preaching, okay? Let that light shine. The truth we follow can't be twisted to fit our own private interpretation. Look at verse 20. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scriptures of any private interpretation. What does that mean, a private interpretation? It means I take it and I'm going to make it say what I want it to say. As we interpret Scripture, it must be in conformity to proper interpretation, measuring Scripture with Scripture. Look, you got Bible truth when you can take everything the Bible says on a subject and it meshes like this, like cogs in a clock or something. They just fit together when it flows like that. If you get this and it's like, no, it's wrong interpretation. There's no private interpretation. There's many applications. There's one interpretation. Okay, you got that. You can apply it different ways, but there's one interpretation. You can't isolate texts for your own interests. This is what false cults do. Okay, cults will take one text and they're going to build their doctrine on this. They're going to teach something false based on this. Okay, and we're looking at this stuff because we're about to jump into chapter 2 here. So look, here's what happens if you isolate texts to mean what you want them to say. Look, I can prove biblically approved suicide, okay? Right here, I'm going to prove it to you. Matthew 27:5. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. Speaking of Judas. Look, I'm biblically approved suicide through hanging. Okay, look, he went and hanged himself. Luke 10:37. Jesus said unto him, go and do thou likewise. So the Bible said, right? I read you what it said. I'll read it again. Matthew 27:5. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. Here's Luke 10:37. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. Jesus said, go hang yourself. Right? Or are those a little bit out of context? You see, we can make it say what we want. That's why it's of no private interpretation. We have to understand proper interpretation of the Word of God. It's healthy for us to remember the basics of our faith. We need to remember the basics of our faith. And our knowledge must be based on truth, but we need to go back to the basics. This is what's being taught right here. Look at verse 12, 2 Peter 1. Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things. Of what things? The things he's been talking about, adding to your faith. Virtue into virtue knowledge, into knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, and patience godliness. Adding these things to your faith. That's what he's talking about. I'm putting you in remembrance of these. Though ye know them and be established in the present truth. He says, you already know them, but I'm putting you in remembrance of them. It's healthy for us to remember the basics of our faith, the foundational truths of our faith. Revelation 2:5 says, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen and repent and do the first works or else I will come unto thee quickly. Hey, it was talking to the church of Ephesus. It said, Jesus said, you left your first love. What's he saying? Hey, remember from whence thou art fallen, repent and do the first works. Get back to this over here. What Peter's talking about in 2 Peter. Hey, remember these things. Remember what I've taught you. Go back to these things. If we're to do these things, we'll be a disciple, and the mark of a true disciple is that they continue in God's Word. What does that mean? They're going to remember these things. We're going to go back. We're going to look at these things. We're going to build on these things. We're going to learn more about these things. John 8:31 says, if ye continue in my Word, then are ye my disciples indeed. So what does that mean? I'm going to go back and refresh myself on them. I'm going to learn these truths that I knew. I'm going to get them better. I'm going to get grounded in them. I'm going to know them. As we remember the knowledge we've been taught, it will establish us in the truth. Verse 12, at the end of verse 12, it says, to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. It'll ground us. Colossians 2:6-7 says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. And then the next verse says, beware of philosophies and vain deceit of men. It gives a warning right after it says, get grounded. And look, we're about to hit the same thing. It's saying, remember these things. Add these things to your faith. Remember them. Build on them. Chapter 2. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you. Why do we need to be grounded? Why do we need to know these things? And why do we need to grow in this? Because there's false teachers. Just like there were in their day. There's still false teachers today. Focusing on the basics will stir us for God. Verse 13, yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by the putting you in remembrance. To stir you up. See, if we focus on the basics, it'll stir us for God. Sometimes we can get away from the basics. And we forget what God's purpose was for us. I'm telling you, so many churches do this. They've got this activity, this one, this one, this one, this one, this one. And it's got God's people so busy that they don't ever focus on the main things. And I'm telling you, Jesus came into this world to seek and to save that which was lost. That's one of the most basic things right there. And that's the first thing churches lose most of the time. Why? Because it's hard. Who likes to be rejected? I mean, even the prophet Samuel was hurt about it when the people had chosen to have a king over them. And he was all brokenhearted about it. And God went to Samuel and said, hey, Samuel, don't worry about it. They've rejected me, not you. And we got to remind ourselves of that sometimes, but we have to stick to the basics. We can't get moved away from that. And it's easy to do. That's why we got to review them. We got to go back to them. We got to focus on these things. That's why we're having this open house, and we push, and we're trying to get the gospel to 2,500 homes in 5 weeks. Why? So we can remember that. We go out every week anyway, but we have this special emphasis to tell us, hey, let's not forget. Let's not forget our first love. Remember so we can build on these things. We need to be busy in the work of God because our lives are only temporary. He says, I'm going to put you in remembrance, verse 14, now knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. What's he talking about? His tabernacle, this body. He says, I'm going to die. It's appointed unto a man wants to die, every one of us here. We're all going to die someday. We don't know when it is. I could walk out of these doors right now, pull out on Coors right here, and get plowed by a car, and that's it. My dad went to work one day when I was 5 years old. Never came home. I don't think he planned that. Lost his life at work. You never know. So we got to make the most. We got to remember these things and build on these things and serve God with the time that we have now. Now, stop wasting it. So many of us waste what God's given us on stuff that doesn't even matter. I mean, I can look back on my life. How many times have I ignored my kids because I wanted to look at something on Facebook, or because I was reading something, or because I was watching something on television, because I was watching a stupid football game, and I ignore my kids? Or we ignore our parents because my friends, that honestly, you grow up and you're not even going to be talk with them. Really, I mean, how many of you in here are in touch with like three of your friends from high school, any adults? You're still in touch with at least three friends from high school. Your best friends, okay? How many of you? Anybody? Two friends. Two friends from high school. Young people, look around here. Any adults raising their hand? None of you are still friends with two of your friends from high school? One friend. Anybody in here? One friend. All right, there's one person. Come on, there's nobody else is still friends with one person they were best friends with in high school? So don't reject your parents and your family for your friends. And I know they're important. I'm not saying that. It's important, especially you get to those teen years. They're important at that time. But they're not everything. Don't waste the time God's given us. Don't even waste the time serving Him. Hey, why don't you try and share the gospel with your friends? You care about them so much. Constantly looking back and remembering these things will help us pass it to the next generation. Verse 15 says, moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. He says, I want you to get this. I want you to keep it. You're the next generation. I want you to have this when I'm gone. Amen. I'm telling you, I want my kids. I want my grandkids that I don't have yet. I want my grandkids to have this too. I want the next generation. I want the next generation of people coming to this church and growing up, and the kids that are being taught in there right now, and some of you younger ones in here right now, I want you to get this. That way, if we pass off, which we will, you're still standing for it. You're still going forward. As we go back and look and remember these things, these basics, we build on this knowledge. We bring this knowledge in. You got to own it yourself. You have to decide, I want this. This is for me. I need it. Not, oh, this is my parents. I come here, my parents make me. Okay. Remember that guardrail. Remember that guardrail. That truth guides us. That truth keeps us from danger. That's for my parents. I can't wait till I'm out of their house. I'm going to do what I want. And you're going over the edge. Promise. I've been there. Went off the cliff, okay? Got banged up on the way down. Praise God, I'm still alive. Okay, I did it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't be a fool. Don't despise knowledge and wisdom. With purpose, we must train the next generation. We have to determine to do it. We have to decide we're going to do it. Parents, we got to decide in our homes we're going to train the next generation. We're going to teach them these things. We're going to train them in these principles. And it doesn't always mean sitting down for like a formal Bible study. It just means living these truths out and showing them, modeling it for them, loving them. I mean, show them forgiveness. Show them you seeking forgiveness. When you mess up, go to them and tell them you're sorry you messed up. Let them see that it's real. You're not perfect. You make mistakes. Let your children see that. In Genesis 14:14, it says of Abraham, this is when Lot was taken by some battles going on. Abraham's nephew Lot's taken. It says, and when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, get this, he armed his trained servants born in his own house. He had some trained servants born in his own house. Right here. Who are we training up right here? In this house. You know what I'm talking about. We're talking about the church of the living God. Who are we training up? See, we ought to be training soldiers. We ought to be training soldiers. I don't want some limp-wristed wimp to go fight next to me. I'm just telling you. I don't. And I understand why a lot of young men say, I want nothing to do with Christianity. They're a bunch of wimps. Because I look at some of these preachers, I'm like, Joyce Meyer is more manly than some of these guys. You know what I mean? She's like, bless God! I mean, have you ever heard her? I mean, she's like, man, watch out, okay? She scares me. No, I'm just kidding. She doesn't. But, I mean, you look at some of the preacher men and they're just effeminate wimps. They are. They're soft. That's what effeminate means, by the way. It's a sin in the Bible, just to let you know. Effeminate is a sin in the Bible. And it means to have the characteristics of a woman. I mean, it's like, no, stop. That type of stuff. I mean, I determined a long time ago, walking down the street or something, I never want to be mistaken for a woman. Never in my life do I want to be mistaken for a woman walking down the street. Because, I mean, I've seen some guys, you're like, is that a guy or a girl? You're like, oh, that's a guy. I never wanted that to be said of me. Ever. But look, we're raising a generation of wimps. Mamas, you got to back off. Let your boys bust themselves up. Let them cry. Let dad tell them, suck it up. You're all right. Get up. Stop crying. I'm not saying it's wrong for a man to cry. Men cry. Amen. Jesus wept. He's stronger than any of us, okay? I'm not saying it's wrong for them to cry. But don't raise a wimp. We're raising soldiers. We want men that'll stand for truth. And who will lead their families? Don't raise a wimp. Some henpecked sissy. What does that mean? It means his wife's bossing him around everywhere. Yes, dear. Yes, dear. Yes, dear. Someone asks him, hey, can you guys come over here? He's like, well, honey. You know, I mean, what? No. I mean, yeah, I check with my wife for some things. You know, because she remembers better than I do. I'm like, hold on, I don't know if we have plans or not. But sometimes I'm like, yeah, we'll be there. And then she overheard me and she's like, you know, we're supposed to be here too. And I was like, oops. You know, hey, just make a decision sometimes. It's better than nothing. No decision is a decision, by the way. And wives just, hey, if you see your husband's going to crash and burn, hey, you're to submit to him, by the way. God will deal with him. Let them go ahead. I mean, you talk about it. I'm not saying that, you know, you don't talk as a husband and wife and get things together and things like that. I listen to my wife's advice all the time. I'll talk to her about things. I'll get things from her, but ultimately the decision's mine. And she's let me just go. She's like, okay, we're going to do this. And she's watched me crash and burn before. And I'm like, oh, sorry, that didn't work out how I thought it was. But hey, I'll be held accountable to God. Most men don't want to just back off and say, go ahead, honey, you do it. We got to get away from that. Let's stop raising wimps. Let's raise up soldiers. The men coming out of this church as we've started this Bible Institute, I want soldiers that are going to come out and stand for the truth of the Word of God and not apologize for it. Not constantly be sorry for what they believe. I mean, you've got one group's coming out of their closet and the Christians are going in to their closet. Because we're scared. Knowledge based on the truth of God's Word will protect us from false teachers. Look, if we won't raise up soldiers that are going to stand, then what we see here in 2 Peter chapter 2, they're going to walk all over us. Look, and you're going to be, I'm just telling you, if you're going to stand for truth, you're going to stand alone so much of the time. You will be the minority. You will absolutely be the minority. Look at just in our society, anybody that stands for even somewhat Christian values, they're attacked, they're blasted all over the place. You are going to be the minority, so you better get some virtue to you. You better get some spiritual courage to you. You can't be a coward stepping into this battlefield. And that's what it is. We're in spiritual warfare. I'm not talking about fighting with our fists and things like that. I'm talking about a spiritual battle, which is much more powerful and much more dangerous than a physical battle. You have to be able to stand. As we look at this here, there's a contrast being made with the Word of God and false teachers. We leave off chapter 1 and it's dealing about with, hey, we have a more sure word of prophecy, and the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. We've got the Bible. We can stand on this. We can build our lives on it. It's a more sure word of prophecy. But then the contrast is made. But there were false prophets also in those days. Also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you who privily, that means sneakily, privately, they're hiding it, shall bring in damnable heresies. That means, hey, some preacher's gonna stand up here and privily and secretly try and bring in false doctrine, damnable heresies. Heresies that'll send somebody to hell. And I'm telling you, it's real and it's out there. Just yesterday, me and Brother Kiko were out there, soul winning and dealing with a man that taught one of the most dangerous false doctrines of all. Cause half of what he said was truth. If not more than half. But he added a tint of works to that salvation. And it's out there. And it damns people to hell. That man believing what he believes is on his way to hell. Because he's trying to earn his own salvation instead of trusting the blood of Jesus Christ. The book of Galatians was written against that false doctrine of adding works to grace. The whole book in the Bible dealt with that. There's a promise that false teachers are going to be among us. It says, there were false teachers also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you. So why should we be surprised when the false teacher shows up? Do you think he's going to show up with a pitchfork and devil horns in a red suit? I mean, is that how a false teacher is going to show up? You're like, who's this clown? No, he's going to look and act the part. He's going to be transformed as an angel of light, just like 2 Corinthians chapter 11 says about Satan's ministers. And he's going to sneak it in. I'm telling you, that's how it works. False doctrine is going to enter a church. It's going to be somebody that's going to come in and they're going to try and pick people off when I'm not around. I'm telling you, that's how it's going to happen. That's what they do. Privately, privately. Hey, why don't you come to dinner over to our house? Okay. And then they start feeding you false doctrine. Privily, sneakily. They're going to bring in damnable heresies. That's a heresy that'll send someone to hell if they believe it, if they follow that. Pastor Robert Sargent makes the following important comment. He says, heresy is much more than ignorance. It's not just that, you know, you can believe heresy just because you don't know. Maybe you just get saved and, you know, this is what you were taught. You, oh, okay. And you just don't know. It's more than that. It's more than just ignorance. It is more than simply holding to an error. It is taking sides with error against truth. That's heresy. I'm gonna stand here and staunchly defend this error. It's taking sides with it against the truth. By the way, somebody gets saved, the Bible says that, hey, God will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. Look, when I got saved, I didn't know everything the Bible says. I still don't. But I knew it was truth and I was willing to accept it. That's what we need to do. The heresies themselves are damnable. Talking about damnable heresies, meaning they are condemned of God and they bring destruction and condemnation upon those who follow them. Damnable heresies. And because of a lack of knowledge, false teachers are going to lead many astray because there's no knowledge. This is why we need to, beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue and to virtue knowledge. Because look what verse 2 says, and many shall follow their pernicious ways by reason of whom the way of truth is evil spoken of. Many are going to follow their ways. Why? Because my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge because they don't know. They don't know what the Bible says. They have no knowledge of God's word. That's why God's says that many are going to be led astray. People despise truth and righteousness. And because they despise truth and righteousness, they're going to follow those that speak evil of the way of truth. They're going to follow those that speak evil of Jesus Christ. Inclusivism and tolerance are what's accepted, but not the way. Look, it says right there, the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He's going to be evil spoken of. So inclusivism, tolerance, hey, it just says, hey, everything's okay. All roads lead to Rome. All roads lead to heaven. How dare you be so intolerant to say that there's only one way? This is what's taught today. This is religious society, Christendom today. Everything's accepted but the way. They speak evil of the way. Jesus said, Matthew 7:13, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way. It's a big wide way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Most don't find it. People want to cling to the idolatrous images of God that have been made by modern day Christendom or themselves while they reject the God of the Bible. The Bible warns about another Christ, another Jesus. He's out there. He's the Jesus that doesn't judge sin. He's tolerant of everything. He just speaks of love as they define it. He doesn't know anything of holiness and righteousness. There's another Jesus that isn't the Jesus of the Bible. They want a Jesus that's lovey-dovey but not righteous and holy. These people hate the God of the Bible. Proverbs 8:36 says, but he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. Many today worship a Jesus of their own imagination that is okay with their fornication, their drunkenness, their idolatry, their worldliness, and they refuse to believe that God will ever judge their sin. They don't want to accept that. I prayed the sinner's prayer. I prayed the prayer. I live like the devil, but I prayed the prayer. I'm forgiven. I have eternal life. But they've never been born again by the Spirit of God. So the Spirit of God comes to live inside of you, and you can still indulge in all this wickedness, all this sin. That's what the Spirit of God allows you to do? That seems to go against His character of holiness and righteousness. But evangelism's been corrupted over the last 100 years, really. I know it's always been there, but we can look here in America, it's really been corrupted. Where it's just, hey, believe on God with no repentance, no surrender, no turning to Him. Hey, when I was a lost Catholic, I believed on God. I believed Jesus lived a sinless life, died on the cross, rose from the dead. I believed all that, and I was still going to hell. But I believed. Yeah, so do the devils. These false teachers, their only God is their own belly. This is why they do this. They speak evil of the way of truth, verse 3, and through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you. What are they doing? They just want to make money off of you. So it's about, hey, send in your seed offering. Send it on in so the blessings will come down. I'm telling you, that's it. Hey, you want to go sin this weekend and live it up? Catholic Church teaches or taught indulgences. Hey, just pay for it. Come on, give us the money. Give it to us. It's okay. Hey, you come here, you don't want to give in the offering, don't. Don't. Give because you love God. That's why you give. If you think, oh, I don't know about this, then don't give. I mean, look, if you don't support what we're doing, then please don't give. But if you do, if you believe what we're doing right here, you believe the Word of God, then hey, give because you love the Lord. That's it right there. That's why you do it. But these people, they want to make merchandise of you. They want to use you to make themselves fat, and they despise the way of the Lord and bring damnation on themselves. Romans 16:17-18 says, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. Here's why. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. They serve their own belly. What's going to help me? What's going to make it good for me? And we need knowledge, we need to know that there's false teachers out there, so we need to know the Word of God so we can determine what's false, and we can mark them and say, stay away from that guy. And here's what modern day Christianity also doesn't like. They don't like the fact when you're going to point somebody out, you're going to name his name or her name, and you're going to say, stay away from that person. How dare you judge? Because we've got a false understanding, because there's no knowledge. Because my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. So apostasy abounds. It abounds. What's apostasy? It's departing from the truth. Leaving the truth, but still holding on to the profession. So I'm a Christian, but I've left the truth of Christianity. Why? Because we weren't being put in remembrance of these things. So we left it. Knowledge of God's Word is the only protection against false teachers. We need to know God's Word. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Why? It can give us doctrine, truth, reproof, tell you what's wrong, correction, correct it, instruction, how to stay right. Why? So the man of God may be perfect. You can be the mature Christian you need to be. You can add to your faith as you need to. You're adding knowledge. So the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. That's what we need. We have to remember the basics and be established in the truth. If we neglect the basics, we can't be established and we're going to be prone to follow false teachers. You're going to. You've got to get grounded in them and you have to be reminded of them. You've got to go back and learn these things again or continue learning them. Keep them fresh in your mind. The only protection we have from false teachers is the knowledge of God's Word. That's what's going to guide us. That's what will keep us straight. We don't follow men. We don't follow movements. We follow the Word of God. You follow movements, you follow men, they're going to go astray. I promise you. Everyone, it's possible to happen here. If we depart from the Word of God, it could happen right here. We have to follow the Word of God. We have to. His Word's there to protect you. So let's learn it. Let's grow in the knowledge of it. And let's be proficient with it. Are you studying His Word? Hey, have you been born again? None of this matters if you've not been born again. You don't even have a faith to add to. You gotta be born again. You gotta know Christ is your Savior. Have you done that? When did you determine and realize, hey, I'm gonna go to hell if God judges me right now. If I die and stand before Him, there's no way I'm going to heaven. I'm not perfect. I'm not sinless. I'm guilty. I'm condemned already. Hey, if you've told one lie, God says all liars are going to the lake of fire. If you've ever stolen anything, it doesn't matter the value of it. You took an extra 3 minutes worth of break at work. You're a thief. You stole from your boss. They were paying you and you stole that money. You're a thief. You ever put anything before God? You wake up every day praising God, thinking about Him first thing? No, then you had something before Him. You had an idol. Not one of us meets God's standard. We're all condemned already. You must be born again. Jesus paved the way for you. He paid it. And He's offering you eternal life. He says, here it is. Take it. Will you take it? It's yours. Receive it. Take the gift. It's a gift. You receive it through repentance and faith. You could do that today. Call out to God. God, save me. Lord, please forgive me. I need You. I need You, Lord Jesus. You pray that right now.